This is episode 1543. Welcome to the Daily Meditation Podcast. I'm Mary Meckley, and I honor you for giving yourself permission to slow down so you can connect to the best part of who you are. In today's episode, you have a special treat. This is a bonus episode for you because I honor you for all you do for yourself as you meditate. I had the opportunity to interview someone who wrote a very healing book for heartache. And we're launching into this week a series on self-care for emotional healing. And you will be guided throughout this week following the wisdom from the book From Heartache to Wholeness by Christine Carlson. Now, if you're thinking, I'm not really going through any heartache these days, well, you might consider that you may go through heartache every day, just in the way that you manage your emotions and respond to different triggers throughout your day. You might be healing from heartache over a loss of a relationship, maybe a divorce, or loss of a loved one, loss of your home, loss of your health. Maybe something happened that changed the way you view yourself, your identity in some way. And so there are lots of different kinds of heartache. And in the interview that you will be listening to in just a moment with Christine, you will learn how to rewrite your story from your own heartache to wholeness, and the hero's journey. And I'll let Christine explain a little more about that in the interview. So this is a longer episode because it is a full bonus interview for you. And after you listen to the series, go ahead and sit down and sit in stillness and consider the kind of heartache you would like to focus on this week in this series. You're going to be gaining lots of different tips and techniques, as always, to help you manage emotional healing. So here is the interview with Christine Carlson.
Welcome to your daily guided meditation. Today, I have a special bonus episode for you, and this is an episode that you're going to be exploring all week long in our series this week. I have a special guest, and she is probably very familiar to you. Her name is Christine Carlson, and she, along with her late husband, Dr. Richard Carlson, co-authored the book series, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. There were over 25 million copies of this series sold, and it became a household name. And I want to say this is one of the very first movements that helped launch the wellness and spirituality movement, I would say, when this book series was published. And Christine is an author in and of her own right, all on her own, and she has written a couple books. But the book we're going to be exploring today is called From Heartbreak to Wholeness. And the reason why I wanted to have Christine as a guest here on the meditation series is so that you could benefit from the incredible wisdom that she shares in her book. And so I have her on the line here, and we're going to be talking all about how to heal from heartbreak. So I know most of us have had some kind of heartbreak in our life, whether from a relationship or maybe from health or maybe from losing a job, whatever it may be. And so without further ado, I'd like to welcome Christine. Hi, Christine. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Mary. So great to be on. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I will share that we were supposed to be, I was supposed to interview Christine last week, and my computer got hacked. And then when we finally jumped on my computer, I had so much trouble with the recording. And I even had a little bit of trouble today, but I thought if it's going to happen with anyone, I mean, it couldn't have happened with a better person, because Christine truly does not sweat the small stuff. So I just want to mention that you were so gracious about everything. Well, we're going to be following along your book in your book all week long. But I want to just ask you, you know, I know you wanted to share what you had experienced with heartbreak in your book. And one of the things that that really spoke to me, among the many things that spoke to me when I read your book, I listened to it on Audible, is the process of being broken when you're going through heartbreak. And so I was wondering if you might be able to share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, so my own personal story is one that isn't unique to humanity, but of course is very personal to me, is that I had lost my husband suddenly about almost 12 years ago to a pulmonary embolism. He was on a flight to New York, and on the descent of that flight, he died suddenly, leaving, you know, me and our daughters, who were 14 and 17 at the time, really stunned and truly heartbroken and in great grief. And so I really, you know, felt called absolutely almost from the very beginning to sort of witness what I was going through. I didn't really know that much about grief or what was going to be in store, but I did understand that this was a part of my journey. You know, this is a part of the journey of humanity. And I realized that I really wanted to watch what this was like, you know, really witness how I went through it. And I had a lot of tools, you know, having been the co-author with Richard of the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books, and having studied and practiced the philosophy in those books our whole adult lives, you know, those tools were extremely helpful. But most people, if you look at those books, will say, you know, they are missing the grief aspect. They're very much for the living and not so much for the grieving. And so that was very true, although I will say the principles of mental health and well-being apply across the board, you know, whether you're applying them to your daily life or you're applying them to your life that you're living in loss. So yeah, that's I think we all go through these incredible times where we get this life-shattering news. And as you said, it could be your health. You could be humming along thinking you're a perfectly healthy individual and then suddenly go to the doctor and find out otherwise. And that very much can break your heart and shatter your identity. And so these losses that we've talked about that Mary pointed to are all losses of identity. And these are when we go into crisis, understandably, you know, because our ego plays a really big role in that. It plays a really big role in putting us into crisis mode. So certainly I wrote a book that really distilled down 10 years of healing into 9 chapters to help people work through that identity crisis and come out the other side in joy.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for doing that for us, because I think that when crisis hits us, no matter, as you mentioned, what kind of crisis, we just turn to or grasp whatever is nearest to us. And I think that it's so important to prepare yourself before an emergency hits, because then you have these reference points you can fall back on, and you're still going through the grief or the pain and the shock and all of this, but you have a path. And so when you don't really have that or give it much thought, it can really be a situation where you almost feel like you can't recover.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, so much of even the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books are really strategy for life. You know, it's like creating a strategy.
Yes.
This is wood for your family in a fire or an emergency. You have a strategy, like how are you going to proceed? And sure, we have great ideas about how that's going to look for us. And each individual is very different. How we go through crisis and loss is very different. And you may not refer to your strategy right away. It may take some time, but it is something like when you do have these tools that you've been working on, that you've been practicing in your life, meditation, so helpful in crisis, so helpful to put you into a mindful state of presence and reflection that's really healthy in loss, you know. And one of the things I talk about in From Heartbreak to Wholeness is that our thought patterns can really take us down a road. And that's the same in life as it is in grief, you know, and a lot of times we're playing back the tapes of how we wish things had turned out. Our regrets are playing forward in our lives. And if you understand that you are thinking those things and that you're on a thought pattern and cycle, you can jump off a little more easily rather than take yourself to the same place of devastating grief each time. Now, that said, I do feel that there is a real importance not to try and evade your emotional response to loss, that feeling your feelings and emptying those feelings and expressing them are really paramount and important to you creating and carving out a new path for your life. And that if you don't, you know, your body is probably going to tell you otherwise, that you're, you know, feeling certain aches and pains and, you know, things that settle in your body when you're not grieving enough. At least that was what my experience was to really notice and embody my feelings, because my body would tell me when I wasn't crying enough. I would get a really bad stomach ache, and then suddenly I would cry and I would feel better, you know. And the whole point of that is to notice that you do feel better, because that is your body rewarding you for going through the process of healing. So it's been a really rich journey, I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I remember in your book how you mentioned often, how do you get back to feeling whole and connected to your body when you are going through such a crisis? Because I think we can even almost numb out, or when we go into shock, without not allowing ourselves to express these feelings. And your book is so well laid out and organized, because you offer these soul mantras and guided meditations at the end of each chapter. So this is something you could just fall back on easily if you are going through a crisis. So with that, would you say that the most difficult part of your recovery was feeling connected, or what to you was the most difficult part of recovering?
Well, for me, I would say the most difficult part of my recovery was probably seeing my kids through theirs, you know, like going through grief as a family. You know, so I would very much have preferred for them to never have to go through that in their childhood, you know, and that was probably the hardest part of what I had to deal with, was not only going through great loss at the loss of my love, my beloved, and my life partner, but watching my kids suffer through the loss of their beloved father, you know, was tremendously difficult. The rest of it, I mean, you know, it's all quite very messy, you know. There's really nothing tidy about going through, you know, healing and loss. Transformation is just a messy business, you know. It's a lot of emotional ups and downs, being on a roller coaster for some time and being able to ride that roller coaster in surrender. And surrender is really the critical piece of healing for me, because, you know, surrender, the misnomer is that when you're in surrender that you're actually giving up, and your surrender is not giving up. It's actually letting go. It's letting go and allowing life to unfold and allowing yourself to be in these emotional spaces of up and down, and, you know, and just being able to go through those waves, you know, and into those waves and empty them, empty out your emotions. This was quite a process, and one that I discovered was, you know, wearing, you know, it was invigorating, wearing, you know, exhausting and exhilarating all at the same time, you know, very awake process. So I love what Joseph Campbell says, because that's why, one of the reasons why I chose the hero's journey of healing, you know, to apply the hero's journey to healing was, you know, he states very clearly in this beautiful documentary interview with Bill Moyers that you can find, I think, on Netflix about Joseph Campbell's work. But he states very clearly, you know, by God, you know, nobody invites suffering. And when we're suffering, it's really painful. But by God, we are awake and alive when we're suffering.
I love the one thing that you said. You said grief was the great house cleaner. And I love that quote.
Yeah, because, you know, I thought about all the times that when Richard was alive that I felt too guilty to cry. And I there were times where I wanted to be able to shed tears, but I just felt like, wow, how could I have nothing to cry about. And so, you know, finally, when I had something really big to cry about, I realized I was crying all the tears for all the years that I had never cried. And there were quite some, you know, I just realized that wow, I'm just completely cleaning out everything, you know, that this one great loss is, it's really just at the cellular level, cleaning out everything. All grief was mixed in there for everything.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anybody who's been through just real deep grief can relate to that. And you have already mentioned a strong concept throughout your book of the hero's journey, which I love. I'm a huge fan of Joseph Campbell too. And thank you for mentioning the Bill Moyers interview, because I'm going to, then I don't have to scroll through Netflix for half an hour to try to find something. I can just put that in the search.
I just want to hope it's on Netflix. I can't remember exactly the platform, but I think it's Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I think it is.
Yes. Well, I'll find out and I'll let everybody know. So the hero's journey, it's one we can all relate to. And I think it's one that really keeps you going. You know, you get up, you just keep getting up. You know, you get knocked down, but then you just keep getting up. Can you, you talk about this in your book, but when you were going through the grief process, did you feel, oh, at that moment, yeah, I'm going through this hero's journey, or was it later upon reflecting?
Yeah, no, I didn't know. I actually wasn't familiar with Joseph Campbell's work at that time. Well, Richard probably was, I wasn't. I really just started to get to know Joseph Campbell's work about 5 years ago. And I was just really perplexed. More I dove into his work, I was like, wow, it really is archetypal. And it really is within us. But then I realized that the great choice that we have to make, all of us have to make, but not everyone does make, is to be the hero and to choose not to be a victim of our circumstances. Now, that theme is extremely prevalent throughout all of our work, throughout the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books. It's all about taking personal responsibility for yourself and your own happiness and making that choice, not once, but over and over and over again. And it's the same thing we have to do when we choose to live presently. You know, it's like you can't just decide, oh, I'm going to be a present moment living person. And then it's one, you're always making that choice every moment of every day, like many choices that we have to make. And, you know, there's just all this amazing research now that points in the direction that says that happiness is a choice and that it is something that we can choose even amidst adversity. And that's not in you know, lieu of grieving or in lieu of going through the process of healing through loss, but the more present that you are, the more that you can feel joy even amidst adversity, because you just are, you know, in a state of presence. Our natural state of being is extremely joyful. And, you know, certainly in my own loss, I found that here Richard had spent his life teaching people how to be present, including Oprah. I mean, she touted him as teaching that Richard taught her how to be present. And I wasn't living as presently, but that his death and recovering from loss really did teach me how to be an extremely present moment person. And I found that very, you know, very ironic, you know, that here my husband really taught me, he was a master of that teaching, and I really learned it, you know, in that space of having to go through losing him. And it's been an incredible gift to me, however, like an incredible gift. You know, of course, I'd rather him be here by my side
yeah.
in the same way that I was used to him. I mean, I do feel like he is present with me, but I've had to get used to this, you know, new relationship I have with him, which is not in body. You know, it's more of a deeply spiritual heart and loving connection, which is another theme throughout From Heartbreak to Wholeness that I had hoped to impart to people in loss, that you don't yeah. have to let go or move on from your loved one. You can carry them forward with you and also continue that relationship with them just in a different way.
It is beautiful that you share that in your book. And so I wanted to ask you another thing you share about in your book is your story is your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful and profound, really, when you think about that. So how do you, people will discover in the book, but if you could think of a way to help somebody reframe their story, because it's so easy to get stuck in old stories, old cycles. And it's also, I think, and you mentioned this so well in your book, when something like this happens, you almost feel like all of a sudden you're not you, you're the person who this thing happened to.
Right.
And so then your story just, the story you had before can just boom, close. And then you're kind of left wondering, what am I, what, you know, am I this thing happened to? And, you know, how did you go about rewriting your story?
Well, that's a great question. Again, you know, I'm going to go back to that real huge pivot that any person makes in their healing process, and that is to choose to be the hero and not the victim of your circumstances. That is the single most largest decision that you'll make in your healing and in your story. So that, because if you decide that you cannot be the hero, let's say you're living as a victim, you're going to live at the affect of your circumstances always. You're always going to be affected, and your circumstances are going to determine and define you. When you decide to be the hero and you decide that you do not live at the affect of your circumstances, it doesn't change the fact that these things happened. It changes your story about what's happened to you. So, and this is the most important aspect, isn't it? It's not the stories that, you know, we tell other people, or it's not even what happens. It's the stories we tell ourselves in the quiet of our own minds about what happens. This is how you will determine how you will heal, how you'll step in, how you'll, you know, rise above what's been given you. And this is so much about you know, living the hero's journey is about not denying the circumstances you're in, but rising above them, coming out of them, standing above them, saying, I accept that this has happened. I'm going to move forward anyways. And And this is what the hero does. And I want to say that everyone, no matter who it is, has something bad happen to them. Everyone asks the same question. Everyone asks, why did this happen to me? But when you can shift that question from why did this happen to me to why did this happen for me, that's when you're well on your way to walking the path to healing, because now you can accept that this happened for your growth. This happened to teach you something. There's lessons and life to be gleaned from this experience. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, life's tough. It's tough stuff for all of us. We have great things in life that happen, and we have hard things that happen. And there is no human being, I don't care who it is, that's exempt from that. Nobody is exempt from the human condition. We all have it. We all will experience it. We're all in it together. And, you know, and these are the things, these are the main huge strategies that you can put in place for, you know, when you go through hard times, you still are going to go through your hard times. It doesn't change the fact, but how you go through them is what you have control over. How you think about them is what you have control over. And the story that you share about what happens, especially the one you tell yourself, is what you have control over.
Yes, that's so true. And I like how you structured and gave a framework for your book. You called it 9 months and incubation and evolution. Mm-hmm. And so what was it hard? I mean, looking back, because I know recovery continues. It's not like there's a point. Things get easier or feel softer, not as harsh, but it's always there. It becomes a part of, you know, who we each are. But when you thought about putting the book together in the 9-month framework, was it hard to think about what to include in each month? And also because we go, it's not as though we go through denial and then we, you know, go through accept. We go back and forth. It's not as clean as you said. It's messy.
Yeah, there's no real stages that you go through. That's for sure. I mean, you kind of lever back and forth between all the stages of, especially the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross model, which is powerful. And, you know, was a very powerful framework to give people the permission to grieve and to understand that it was okay to have all of these different feelings that we all have in grief. But there isn't like, you don't pass out of one stage into another and then you're done with that stage. You know, she would be I know friends that have worked directly with her. She would say that, if she were alive, to say that she never intended on it being these stages that you pass through. She just wanted people to know that there are these elements of grief that you will go through.
Yes. Yeah. So if you could give someone who, you know, is just brand new to the grief process, if you could give them, another thing that's so difficult is when these things happen, we don't usually know it. Like sometimes we know something might be coming, but it's usually a surprise or a shock. And so we're not in the frame of mind to, you know, go and think about what we need to do. And we're just caught up, and it's just like this, we're riding this big wave, and we don't always have access to the tools we know are there for us because we're so overwhelmed. So if you had some advice, suggestions for people who are new to the grief process, what would you recommend?
That's a great question. You know, the first thing I would say is that I would recommend you not follow the normal prescriptions that people will tell you to follow. Like, for example, the world will tell you to busy up, you know, get busy, stay busy, you know, just keep busy so you don't have to think about it. Well, you know, that's a great short-term prognosis and philosophy, but doesn't work very well for the long term. And what people will find is when they do that, they have a massive breakdown at some point. And that's what you will avoid by not doing that. Realize that you are going to need time for stillness. You're going to have to carve out time and carve out a new life that includes grieving. And just as a person who gets the news that they have cancer has to carve out time in their schedule for treatment. You know, I mean, whatever kind of treatment you decide to do, grieving is the same way. You must carve out time for yourself to go through this process of healing. And, you know, and for people who have to continue to work, you know, do your best to carve out your evenings to be alone or your weekends, you know, spend time in nature, do meditate, do spend time in stillness. All of these times that you're in stillness will allow your real feelings to come forward and will allow you the space to cry if you need to cry or shake or laugh or scream, you know, whatever it is that you need to do to express that emotion. And that's the biggest thing that I could recommend to anybody who's going through any kind of loss is really just look at your self-care, really put into practice some really strategic, amazing self-care, you know, and a lot of time being very gentle with yourself, take long hot baths, you know, go on walks, spend time with friends that can hold your space, you know, hold you and not necessarily fix you, you know, that you'll find that your tribe will change a lot when you're going through grief, and you may have a couple of friends that pop forward as being able to really support you in this transition and change, while others will fall away for a time. Just allow all that to be, you know, allow those people who can hold your space, you know, step in. And you need support, you know, that's the other thing. Going through a grieving process alone, it's already very isolating. You know, you really do want to find support. And there's a lot of support online. You know, there's great Facebook groups, there's, you know, great support that way. But nothing really replaces, you know, having a friend or two that can really be there for you.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. So that kind of leads into where I think we might close our interview with one more reflection, and that is you said in your book how you are broken open on fertile ground, so there's a new path ahead of you. And that is really what you find, that your life isn't ever the same. Some parts of it are, but you're still who you are, but it's a new path. It's just simply a new path. And your book really guides people on this path so well. And do you have any other things you would like to share with how you can heal things that maybe you didn't share in your book, or something that just, you know, may have even seemed insignificant, but to you at that time, it really meant a lot?
Well, I mean, I would say that to think of this time as being, you know, kind of an adventure in a way. It's a healing adventure, you know, that I did a lot of travel when I was healing with my daughters. I took them to India to a guru that we'd always studied with, to the ashram. I didn't put that in this book. It was in a different book that I wrote about that story in Heartbroken Open. I did a lot of travel because it allowed me the space to heal differently than healing at home. It also proved to me that I could do it without my husband. You know, there was a big step out into the world and then stepping back in. And I would just, you know, say that hold on to the idea that, you know, as you've been, you may feel very broken, that your heart is actually broken open in the way that you decide to heal. And you can either become open or close down. There's two paths. And if you open up, you're going to have more of an awakening. You're going to heal and expand your heart's capacity for compassion for the rest of humanity, and a deeper understanding, a deeper awakening of life. And there's just really nothing quite as beautiful as that, that this thing showed up to actually crack you open to more life, to more expression, to more of who you really are. And it's really up to you to choose that path and to get on that path of self-awareness and healing and really self-love at its ultimate level. And as you heal, your heartbreak will transform you, you know, into a better person, a better version of who you are. And that's really where I show you toward the end of From Heartbreak to Wholeness, what wholeness really means is that you are whole and complete on your own. And regardless of whether or not you're in a relationship or whatever you've gone through, but you can be a whole and complete person and return to joy.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. Well, Christine has it's a gift for people who buy their book. And if you would share with us how we can find you and find out more about you and all the amazing things you do.
Oh, thank you. So I have a website, christinecarlson.com. You'll find courses and retreats on that website. But my gift to you, if you purchase a copy of From Heartbreak to Wholeness, The Hero's Journey to Joy, you can go to fromheartbreaktowholeness.com and download the Soul Mantra Meditations. They're in a 10-minute form with beautiful music. As my gift to you, and then you can listen to them alongside as you do the workbook section of the book. The other thing I would recommend is that you do buy a book for yourself and have one on hand for a friend, because this is the kind of book that you'll really want to have as a response to somebody who's going through something difficult. Oftentimes we don't have the words, but with a book like this, you don't have to have the words. It's all written there for you.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have a friend whose mother is dying from stage 4 ovarian cancer. So I'm going to definitely give her this book. And what I'll do is you will find the links to this special gift and everything about Christine. I'm going to put it in our private Facebook group, because I know not everybody may pop into the website, but most people are in our private Facebook group. And so I'll share it there. That way it will always be there for you. Well, Christine, I want to thank you for your time and for your good, positive, hopeful energy, and for writing this book, because it is a gift. It can make a big difference in anybody's life.
Well, Mary, thank you so much, and just many blessings to you and to the wonderful work that you are doing in the world for people. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to share this time with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, with that, as I always say, you are so worth slowing down for.
Isn't Christine great? She's very warm and nurturing, and her book comes across the same way. You can download her book on Audible, like I did, or you can buy a copy of the book on Amazon. It's there, and I'm sure it's in your local bookstore. We'll be following her wisdom throughout this week in our series on self-care for emotional healing. So now go ahead and settle yourself down and sit in stillness and focus on the kind of healing you want to experience in this week's series. I'll see you in the next episode.